Albert Schweitzer was probably one of the most famous missionaries of the modern era. The modern era begins in the 20th century. He lived during the 20th century. Albert Schweitzer gave up his academic career. He had PhDs both in theology and in physics. He was a concert organist, musician. He gave that up as well to go to French Equatorial Africa. When he was 85 years old, Andrew Davidson from the Colgate-Rochester Seminary went to visit him. About 11 o'clock in the morning, they were walking, and Dr. Schweitzer noticed this lady carrying this huge bundle of wood on her shoulders. And those of us that have been to Congo, we saw this quite often, ladies carrying this immense bundle of firewood on their shoulders. And he saw that. He left the group as they were going down this hill. He left the group and went and took that bundle of wood from that woman and carried it up the hill for her. When he rejoined the group, some of them expressed surprise over that. And they said, Dr. Schweitzer, why did you do that? You're 85 years old. Why would you do that? And Dr. Schweitzer said this, no one should ever have to carry a burden like that alone. You know, I've been thinking this week about how would we end the series on the One Another Commands. We've been, for the last couple of months, talking about how we're better together as we live out the One Another Commands. And so as I began to look at what I would talk about on this final Sunday, next Sunday we're going to start a new series for December, which is going to be on Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to start a new series for the Christmas season, for the month of December, four messages. But for right now, we're finishing up this series, and I've decided this morning to speak on serving one another and bearing one another's burdens. In the letter to the Galatians, the Apostle Paul would write in chapter 5, verse 13. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along. I believe this is on the screen. Do I have this on the screen in the next slide? I believe I do. But Galatians 5:13 says, for you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Then 11 verses later, the Apostle Paul would say in chapter 6, beginning with verse 2, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each one will have to bear his own load. Now, we're actually going to look at those verses in context in just a few moments. But let me share with you as we begin this talk by telling you that service is a huge thing in the kingdom of God. Serving one another, bearing one another's burdens is just immeasurable in importance when it comes to the kingdom of God. But the disciples argued over this very thing quite often. They argued over who would be the greatest in God's kingdom. Early in the Gospel of Luke, they're arguing over this very thing. And Jesus pulls them aside, takes a little child, and he says, unless you become like this child, you're not going to be a leader. You're not even going to be in the kingdom of God unless you become like this child. And then at the end of his ministry, it's the night before he's to die, they're arguing again over who's the greatest. And by the way, they would argue over who's the greatest all throughout the 3 years that intervened, it seemed. But on this particular night before Jesus is to die, there arose a dispute. This is Luke 22, beginning with verse 24. There arose a dispute among them as to which one of them was regarded to be the greatest. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles, lorded over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors. But it is not to be this way with you. But the one who is the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like the servant. For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. And that night, in that context, Jesus did something that really is incredible by any standard of measure. It's hard for me to put it in our terms so we can even begin to understand it. But what Jesus did that night was he took off his outer robe and he girded himself up. I think that sort of means like he rolled up his sleeves, maybe rolled up his pants legs, if you would, although he wasn't wearing pants or sleeves like we have. But he took off his outer robe and he began to wash his disciples' feet. In that culture, in that day, everybody's feet got dirty. It was the low guy on the totem pole. It was his job to wash feet. And in that night, there was nobody who considered themselves to be low on the totem pole. And so nobody washed feet. Jesus did, though. Took off his outer garment and began to wash feet. When he was finished, they're sitting at the table again, or reclining by the table. And John records to us what Jesus says. This is what he says. Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is the one sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Jesus pointed out to his disciples that greatness in God's kingdom has a totally different yardstick by which you measure it. It is not by who has power or position, but rather it's by who serves the most, who is the greatest servant among you. In Matthew 23, in verse 8, Jesus would teach on greatness in his kingdom. Listen to what he would say. But do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, and you are all brothers. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. Do not be called leaders, for one is your leader, that is Christ. But the greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. Now Jesus is not saying there'll never be teachers among us. He's not saying that he's not going to give some people in leadership and they'll be leaders among us. He's not saying that there is no one who is going to somehow give vision and exercise some sort of directive for the church family. That's not what he's saying. What he is saying, though, is that you should never view yourself as above anybody else. You should never see yourself as a leader or a teacher or whatever you might have in the way of position in the body of Christ. You should never see yourself as somehow better than everybody else, as somehow the one that everybody should look to. And so you'd say, man, don't take the title leader. Don't take the title rabbi. Don't take the title, don't take titles. He said, be among one another as brothers. But then again, that doesn't mean that we don't have giftedness that God's going to use. Greatness is always seen, listen, always seen in our willingness to serve others and humble ourselves and bear one another's burdens. So by the time we get to the establishment of the local assembly, as the church would grow and as God would begin to direct, local assemblies of believers would come together in Corinth and Galatia and different places like that, Jerusalem. And as these bodies began to form and these local church assemblies began to gather, God would give them commands. He'd begin to instruct them. And so we have these two commands to the church at Galatia that I want us to look at and focus on this morning. And though the commands are slightly different, they really are an expression of the same thing. And it is this: loving and preferring one another as more important than ourselves. Let's look at the first one. The first one is Galatians 5, 13 through 14. I'm going to read it again. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if we go back to chapter 5, verse 1 and move forward, what we would find in the book of Galatians is that Paul is telling the church, you are no longer under obligation to keep the first covenant commands. The dietary laws of the first covenant, they're no longer, they're obsolete. They're no longer there for you. You don't have to do them anymore. The sacrificial commands about taking sheep and bulls and going through all of that, you don't have to do that anymore. That has been done away with. Circumcision, that the Abrahamic covenant, you no longer have to even do that, because those are no longer expectations that God the Father has for us. God has made those expectations obsolete with the doing away of the first covenant. They're gone. God no longer expected obedience to those laws as a demonstration of their faith in Him. He had, in Hebrews chapter 8, He had rendered the first covenant obsolete and He had enacted a new covenant. Now, this new covenant was a little bit different. In verse 13, Paul reiterates his whole thing again, that we were called to freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from those first covenant laws. But in verse 6, he tells us circumcision doesn't matter, uncircumcision doesn't matter. What matters only is faith in the Lord Jesus working through love. That's verse 6, all right? And so by the time he gets to verse 13, 14, basically he's saying to them, you're free from those laws. You don't have to do them anymore. But that does not mean that you are free to be sinners, free to walk in sin, free to be selfish, free to live according to your sinful nature. You are not free to live selfishly. As a matter of fact, your freedom is not freedom to be selfish or freedom to be self-centered. Your freedom is instead an opportunity for you to walk in love. That's the new law. That's the new law that Paul would reiterate over and over and over again. Why? Because Jesus would tell us, this is the new law. In fact, you know, and I'm getting ahead of my notes, but I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to get all confused. But, you know, Nathan and I have been telling you this from the beginning of this series. There is one command. That is to love God with all your heart. And the second Jesus said it's like it, it's to love one another as you would yourself, right? Jesus said, under these two commands, or under this one command to love God and love others, under that command, all the other laws in the Bible fall and flow. Everything else in the Scripture falls under that command to love God and love one another. Everything else is just an outworking of that. And so when we get to this place where Paul tells us to serve one another, really what he's saying is we have freedom now from these old covenant laws, but it's not freedom to be selfish and to live in sin. It's freedom to love one another. It's freedom to serve one another, to forgive one another, to build one another up, to welcome one another. It's the same. It's all those things that we've been talking about. That's what it means to love one another. That is how we do that. And so Paul reminds them, he says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. When Paul says back here in the text, see, I'm all confused now. When Paul says back in the text, he says, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Paul is basically saying, this command that I'm giving you to serve one another is the outworking of that law of God that you are to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, what Paul goes on to say in Galatians, and I'm going to move on forward past the verses I've read you, what Paul would go on to say is that we don't live according to laws anymore. We live according to the Spirit of God who's at work in us, and he's directing us. Now, he's not going to direct us contrary to the things that Jesus showed us or the things that God has expressed our moral truths in his word, but we're going to be led by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, the evidences of his leading in my life are going to be the fruit of the Spirit. So if you've got your Bibles and you're following along, he's going to tell you, you know, when you live by the law of the Spirit, when you follow the Holy Spirit, here's the kind of things that are going to be outworking in your life. You're going to have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. See, we don't live by any Old Testament, First Covenant laws. Those have been rendered obsolete. But now we live by the law of the Spirit of God. And as we live by him, he's going to evidence fruit in our life. Then we get to chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 1, Paul says in chapter 1, verse 1, he says, hey, when somebody's caught in sin, you that are mature, you help that person. We talked about this under the forgiving one another, right? And so he says, you help one another. But then he gets to verse 2. And here is the second passage. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own works, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone, not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. The Apostle Paul tells us, here's what it means to serve one another. He's kind of given us some specifics now. Serving one another means bearing one another's burdens. And then we'll fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? It's what we've been talking about. It's loving God and loving one another. And then Jesus would specifically tell us that the love of Christ, we find it in John chapter 13. Remember Jesus said, I give you a new command that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Those of you that are following Christ, those of you that have said, I'm trusting in Jesus, he's my Savior, I'm following him. Here is the law that we live under. It's this one law. We love God and we love others. And then everything else flows from that. And part of what flows from that is that we serve one another and that we bear each other's burdens. Now, a question we need to ask is, what are these burdens that we're to bear for one another? Well, the word burden there, if we were to translate it literally, it would be like a heavy, heavy load. It's a work that speaks of just a weight that is almost unbearable. It's almost something that can't be carried. So that's the word there for burden. It's a heavy, heavy load. Now, it's obvious. Obviously, Albert Schweitzer used that word metaphorically. Remember when he carried he used it literally when he carried the wood for the lady. But in reality, the way that Paul means it there, it's a metaphorical use of that word. We are to bear people's burdens, whatever they are. We're to bear them. We're to help people carry them. And Paul gives us two reasons why we might not do that. Not why we should do that. We know why we should do that, because we follow Jesus and we're under the law of love. That's why we should do that. He gives us two reasons why people may not do that. Here's what they are. Number one, we may think we're too good for that. We may think we're too above that. And so in verse 3 he says, "For if anyone thinks he is something when he's nothing, he deceives himself." Can I tell you what's going to keep you as followers of Jesus from serving one another and carrying each other's burdens? It's going to be your pride. It's going to be this idea that it's really about me. I'm really center in this. I'm center of my own heart. I'm the center of the universe. That's what's going to keep me from serving and bearing one another's burdens, because my pride is going to make it all about me. That's why, listen, if you want a visual picture of this, that is why nobody washed anybody's feet on the night before Jesus was to die, there in the upper room. The reason why nobody washed anybody's feet was because everybody thought, what? I'm too good for this. This is the lowest servant's job. This isn't something for me. I'm above that. Can I tell you one of the reasons why we don't serve, one of the reasons we don't bear one of those burdens is somehow another, and we would never maybe articulate this, we would know enough to know to say that, I can't say that out loud because that's prideful. But in our hearts we think, hey, I've got too much going on. I'm too busy. There's too many things important in my life to be able to care for one another. I've told the story so many times, I hesitate whether to say it or not, tell it again, but maybe some of you haven't heard it. It's a great story. George Washington on his horse coming through the armies, and there's this group of men trying to move this log. They're really struggling with it. They can't lift it, and their commander is standing there barking orders but not helping. And George Washington gets off his horse. They don't know who he is. Gets off his horse, puts his shoulder under the log and helps move it. After they're finished, he gets on his horse and he looks at the commander and he said, "Look, the next time your men are having trouble moving a log, you call your commander-in-chief, George Washington, and I'll come back and help." In other words, he smacks the guy in the face and basically says, if the commander-in-chief is willing to serve by putting his shoulder under that log, you better put your shoulder underneath that log. See, it's pride that keeps us from serving others, because we make it all about ourselves. And so Paul says, if you think you're something so that you cannot serve, you're deceiving yourself. You're not above being a servant. Now here's the second thing he says. You might be stymied by comparing yourself for others. Let each man test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself, not in his neighbor. There's two comparisons, I think, that can keep us from serving. One of them is we look at others and we say, I've done so much more than everyone else. Why should I keep on serving and bearing other people's burdens? I must confess, I struggle with that one. You know, we look around and we say, you know, hey, I'm doing this. Nobody else seems to helping or serving. Why should I continue to serve? Here's what I want to say to you. Here's what Paul says. Don't look at somebody else. Just look at you. You do what God's called you to do. And if you're the only one serving, so be it. But know this, God knows. God knows. So you just do what God's calling you to do. And don't look around. Why should I make a meal for some family? Because I've been taking meals for every single family. Why should I mow the grass? I'm the person that mows the grass every year with just a few other people. Why should I be on the cleaning crew? Because I'm the only, you know, there's just so few of us that clean, nobody else helps. You know, it's real easy to look at what other people are doing and not think about what God's called me to do as a servant and as a burden bearer. Y'all following? That's what Paul says. Don't look at others. Look at yourself. But here's another way this can affect us, I think. We can look at others and we can say, man, I'm not good enough. I don't have the skills necessary to serve there. I mean, you know, this person's bearing a huge load. And, you know, hey, let somebody more gifted at that kind of load bearing do it. And we can look at others and we can say, I'm not good enough. And I mean, I don't have the skills. Here's what I want to say to you. You are called to be a servant and a burden bearer. And stop looking at other people that they might be able to do it better. If God puts it on your heart to bear somebody's burden or to serve, you serve. You do what God the Spirit is telling you. You see, we operate not by this rule of first covenant laws. We operate by the Spirit, by the law of the Spirit. And we operate by the law of love. And the Spirit is going to tell us how to love one another and where we need to serve and when we need to put our shoulder under somebody's burden and help them carry it. Don't look at other people. Now, at the very end of that text, you notice Paul says, bear your own burdens. Do you see that? It's the very last part of the verse. Bear your own burden. Verse 5. Well, isn't that a contradiction? Isn't that a contradiction? Well, you know, what doesn't help is that we use the same English word to translate two different Greek words. And so the first Greek word has to do with bearing a heavy, heavy load. The second Greek word there is more like a knapsack. In other words, everybody, we all have responsibility in this. Sometimes our burdens are so overwhelming, we're being crushed under the weight of them, right? And we need somebody to help us carry that when we don't feel like we can go on. But all of us have responsibility. All of us have a knapsack of responsibility that we need to bear. And that's what he's saying. You do what God's called you to do. You listen to the Spirit. You be a servant. You be a burden bearer because we all have responsibility in this. So there we are. Serve one another in love. Bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. By the way, serving one another in love and the law of Christ, they're both the same thing. That's both saying the same identical thing. The law of Christ is the law of loving one another. Everybody with me? Everybody got that? All right? Now, what does this look like practically? How do we actually do this? Now, there are many things that I could talk about right here, but let me talk about emotional burdens. I happen to be a pastor, and so you share with me, and I know some of you sitting in this room have emotional burdens that are crushing you. They're crushing you. And you need us to help you carry them. And so the burdens may be emotional. You are crumbling under the weight of what you're bearing. The burden may be suffering a spiritual burden, like an addiction to sin that seems impassable, something that you struggle with all the time and you haven't been able to get past it. Listen, that is a burden that we are all called to share with you, to put our shoulder under that, to help you. If your burdens are addictions of some sort, let the body of Christ help you. And the only way that'll happen is if you, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, so let me just stop there. I'll tell you more about how that happens in a little bit. But maybe it's spiritual addiction. Maybe it's addictions to sin of some sort. You know, brothers, and here's a third thing. Maybe it's brothers and sisters who are being burdened with torture, the loss of material goods, being martyred for the kingdom of God. You say, well, Jimmy, I don't know anybody like that. I know you don't. They're not here in America, but around the world, as we sit here in this warm, cozy building and comfortable seats, there are brothers and sisters who have experienced the loss of everything, not because they're bad people, but because they followed Jesus and those who rule their land have said, you're going to pay for this. And they've had to pay the price. You see, so they're bearing a burden that we can't even begin to imagine. I want to read you something, and this is Jesus' own words in his 3 years that he was, you know, setting up the case for what he was going to do for us and basically revealing God to us before he would, you know, take our sin, take our test for us, if you would. In Matthew 25, Jesus tells a story about this king, and this king says this: I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer this king and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you in sick? When were you in prison and we came to you? And the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Jesus mentions in that little story five ways that we can serve one another, five ways that we can carry burdens. And the first one, he says, man, there are people out there who are hungry and have nothing even to drink, and we can serve them by helping them have enough to eat, enough to drink. He said, we can serve people who are lonely and friendless and strangers, and that's a huge burden for them to bear. We can serve people who have no shelter. They don't even have any clothes. If you don't have any clothes, you definitely don't have a house. They don't have any shelter. Now, let me stop here and just, before we get to the last two, let me just say something here. I know how most Americans, I'm not talking about Christians now, I know how most Americans feel about refugees. But let me ask you, do you know anyone who would better fit that description that the king just gave than the person who has no food, no clothing, no shelter, no friends, no anything, than the refugees in the world? I think there's 136 million refugees. I think that number's right. It's more than in any time in the rest of all of history. I'm telling you, church, following Jesus isn't just something in our minds. It's got to be real. It's got to be, we got to live it out. We got to live it out. We as American Christians, I'm putting the American before the Christian, we need to reverse that. We as Christians who are Americans, we need to see through Christian eyes, not through American eyes. And we need to say, God, how can we bear people's burdens? How can we serve people? He goes on, he says, we can serve people who are sick and need assistance. Lastly, Jesus mentions people in prison. He may have meant believers in prison for the kingdom's sake at some point. He may have been talking about them, right? You know, you say, well, I don't know any Christians in prison. I know you don't, because we don't imprison Christians in our land. But you know, around the world, Christians are in prison. They're in prison for their faith in Christ all over the world. Maybe hundreds of thousands. I don't know how many, but there's lots. You know, but let's not just limit to them. Maybe it's the people in prisons are filled with men and women who need the Lord Jesus. Just they're there because of crime. They're there because maybe they deserve it. But you know, Jesus said, this king said, you visited me in prison. And they said, when? And he said, when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. Now, the one another commands are meant to show us how to love. Okay, and this is the law of the kingdom, love one another. So let me tell you, I'm finished. I'm almost finished. We're almost out of time anyway, but I'm almost finished. And here, I really want you to listen to this last part, okay? Because in this last part, I'm going to challenge you all this morning to four responses. I want to ask you to seriously listen and say, God, can I, will I do this when it comes to serving one another? Here's the first response. Will you make a decision this morning to be a servant? Will you decide this morning, I am going to live my life as a servant? The Bible says this, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Okay? So here's what I want you to hear. It all begins with our thinking. It all begins with our mind and our ability or willingness to make a decision. Jesus is constantly challenging us, his people, to serve others. He did it all throughout his earthly ministry. Remember John 13? Every eye, and this is just Jimmy, but every eye is riveted to Jesus. And he said, what you've seen me do, you do to others. He wasn't talking about washing feet. We don't wash feet anymore. We wear pants and we wear socks and shoes. And we don't have to wash people's feet because they don't get dirty from the dust anymore. So we don't wash people's feet. But you know what this whole idea of serving people at the folks that we would say this is the lowest serving job of all? That's what Jesus is saying. Be willing to serve others at your own expense, at your own cost. Be willing to lower yourself. Because remember, he said this over and over and over again. The least in the kingdom is the greatest. But the one who's the greatest servant is the greatest in the kingdom of God. Listen, it's backwards. It's backwards. In our world, the greatest is the one that everybody serves. And can I tell you this? Everything in your sinful nature says, I don't want to serve others. Others should serve me. I don't want to have to give of my time and my efforts and my stuff to serve them. People should be serving me. Look at what I do. Look at who I am. And we make it all about ourselves. And Jesus is calling you this morning to make a decision to be a servant, to decide, I'm going to follow Jesus and I am going to serve. Can I say the Christian life is not a decision? You know, we've kind of confused that in American Christianity. You know, the Christian life is just, it boils down to a decision. It's not. The Christian life is following Jesus always, every day, all the time. But you know what? That kind of begins with a decision. It begins with a point where I'm willing to say, yep, I'm following Jesus. And so being a servant is the same way. And can I say this? It's not a one-time decision. It's like one of these things you have to wake up every morning and say, I'm going to serve. Isn't that right, George? It's like every single day I have to wake up and say, God, today I want to be a servant. Why do I want to be a servant? Because you were a servant. You lowered yourself. You were a burden lightener for people. I want to be one who lightens people's burdens. Here's the second thing I'm asking you to do this morning. I'm asking you to be a servant, to make a decision to serve others. Here's the second thing I'm asking you. Congruently with the decision to serve, I'm asking you to humble yourself. You cannot serve if you are not willing to humble yourself. You cannot be a servant unless you're willing to let go of your position and say, I submit, I humble, I put myself down. I don't mean put yourself down in the sense of, you know, belittling yourself. I'm talking about taking the word humble is from the Greek word to place yourself under. That's the word submit. But it has to do with the same idea of humbling ourselves is recognizing the greatness of someone else or putting myself under that person over me. That's what humility is. And so I'm challenging you to humble yourself. When Jesus is talking to his disciples about their view of greatness in the kingdom, he puts this little child in their midst. Remember this? And he says, unless you become like this little child, you'll not inherit the kingdom of God. What did he mean? What did he mean by that? What he meant was this. That child had no position. That child had no power. In that culture, that child was nothing. Jesus saying, unless you're willing to become like that child, you're not even going to enter the kingdom of God, much less be a servant. You see, because entrance into the kingdom of God is about being willing to humble yourself before others and prefer others as more important than yourself, putting them ahead of yourself. So I really want to challenge you today to humble yourself. James 4:7 says, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Here's what James is saying. He's not saying we've got to be Eeyore. He's not challenging us to be depressed. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that you have to humble yourself. You've got to recognize, I need God. And if you're not willing to humble yourself, you'll never be saved. And if you're not willing to humble yourself, you will never be a servant. You have to choose humility. Number three, I'm asking you this morning to choose to be a servant. I'm asking you, will you humble yourself? Will you not make this about you, but make it about others? Number three, I'm asking you to choose to see the need. I already read you that passage from Matthew 25 where Jesus, or the king, says, you know, I was hurting, I was hungry, and I didn't have clothing, I was sick, I was lonely, I was in prison, and you did all those things for me. And then remember the people, they go like, when did we do that? They were clueless. And here's the point. They weren't doing all of that to somehow earn favor with God. They were doing that because they saw the need and they were doing it. And Jesus said, the Father says, wow, when you did it for them, you've done it for me. Now here's the point. You and I have got to look and choose to see the need all around us. Because you know what? And this kind of goes back to humility. If I don't humble myself, I'll never see the need. I'll never see any need about me. Because you know, if I'm not humble, you know what I'm always doing? Who am I looking at? I'm looking at me. I'm looking at Ann. I'm looking at Joy. I'm looking at my family. I'm looking at the people closest to me. That's who I care about, right? If I don't lift up my eyes from myself and mine, I'm not going to see the need. We need to look at the need beyond ourselves. And can I say this to us, church? We need to look at the need beyond even America. We look around in our country, and because of our Christian heritage, because there was, you know, because of the influence of the Bible and our Christian forefathers, because of that influence, America has been like this little bubble in history where we as Christians have flourished. We haven't had persecution. We pray all the time, God, thank you that we could go to church today and nobody's trying to shoot us or kill us, right? That's because of our Christian heritage. But you know what? We are like an anomaly. America is like an anomaly in all of history. And you know what? In the world today, even as we live, you know, if we could just look beyond our little bubble, I'm telling you, Christians are homeless and shirtless and foodless and friendless and in prison. We've got to look beyond ourselves to see the need. And that's what I want to challenge you to do. You know the statistics, I've shared them before. We're in the 95 richest percentile in the world. Only 5% of the world is less rich than, I mean, is richer than us, you know. Of the poorest people in America, they're richer than 68% of the people in the world. My point is not to make us feel bad about that. My point is to make us feel the responsibility that God has given us with so much. And I struggle with this, and I know you do as well. We don't see the hunger. We don't see the nakedness. We've got to lift up our heads. We've got to get our heads out of the sand. Here's the last thing I want to say to you that I want to challenge you with this morning. I'm challenging you, would you decide to be a servant? Would you this morning humble yourself and not make it about you? Look beyond yourself. Would you look up and see the need? Here's the last thing. If you're going to be this kind of servant who bears burdens and who serves others, you've got to be willing to sacrifice. Because you cannot serve others without sacrifice. You cannot bear burdens without sacrifice. Can I tell you, you're going to have to give of your time. You're going to have to give of your resources. You're going to have to give of your emotions. Can I tell you that if there's somebody who's bearing an emotional burden, if you put your shoulder underneath that emotional burden, your emotions are going to get intertwined with theirs. I mean, if they hurt, you're going to hurt. In fact, isn't that what the Bible calls us to do? Doesn't Jesus say to hurt with those who hurt and laugh with those who laugh? He's telling us, hey, be willing to invest your emotions. And it's a sacrifice, everybody. It's going to cost you your energy. You cannot give something away and at the same time keep it. You can't give away your money to help others in their burdens and still have it for yourself. You can't. Right? You're going to do one or the other. And I'm not telling us to give everything away. Although if Jesus were here, he might do that because he told several people to do that, didn't he? I'm telling you though that if you're going to be a servant, you're going to have to sacrifice your time, your resources, your energies, your emotions. It's going to cost you to do this. In the book of Acts, they were giving their all to serve one another. The prospect of the early return of Jesus, I believe, motivated them with little concerns for the future. Now, 2,000 years later, we know that Jesus tarries. We know that there's a balance there. The Proverbs tell us to be like the ant and recognize that you know, lean months are coming. So there's a balance between us caring for our own needs. But, you know, we need to be more like the early church. Man, they were all about sacrificing their all for the kingdom of God. We need to be, I believe, more like that. So this morning, I close by saying, serve one another. Bear one another's burdens. Let's be a family. Let's be a family where that is true of us, where we do that. Decide to be a servant. Humble yourself. You know, this morning in prayer time, I think it was, I'm not sure where it was, but somebody came up to me, not even knowing what I was going to be speaking on this morning, because we were praying about some of this stuff this morning, and they said to me, they said, Jimmy, we not only need humility in all of us being willing to consider others as more important than ourselves, if you've got emotional needs, if you've got things, burdens that you can't bear, you know what we need? We need you to humble yourself and let us know, right? You hide your stuff, nobody can bear your burdens with you. It's scary to bear your burdens. Are people going to judge me? Are people going to kick me out? Are people going to not like me anymore? But I'm telling you, You need to humble yourself and be willing to share your burden so that the rest of us can put our shoulders under it and help carry it. Be a servant. Humble yourself. Look for the need. Choose to sacrifice. Let's bow our heads. Just in this quiet moment, just, I don't know, how God might be speaking to you. You've heard the challenge. You talk to God for a few moments. Father, this is a challenge that we can all improve in, that we can all grow in preferring others as more important than ourselves. The Apostle Paul challenged us. He said, make my joy complete by viewing others as more important than ourselves, being willing to lay down our lives for each other. So Lord, teach us to do this. I pray that the love of Christ and the law of love and the law of Christ would so permeate us as a family that men and women would be drawn. Even, Lord, as you wanted to draw men and women to the nation of Israel, you want to draw men and women to us by our love for each other that serves and bears one another's burdens. By this all men will know that we are your disciples by our love for one another. God, would you deepen our love for each other? Will you deepen our burden bearing for each other? Will you strengthen, I'm going to ask you to strengthen, Lord, our humility. Strengthen our resolve to be a servant. Grow us all in this area, we would pray. God, may you be exalted and may you be glorified in our church family. For your name's sake, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. It's being brought to you by Bacon's Castle Baptist Church. And if you'd like more information about our church, please visit us on the web at www.baconscastle.com.